Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go, game three, and the fellas are live at the Amerant Bank Arena today, courtesy of Celsius Essential Energy Drinks. Hockey fans, don't sit this one out when it's game time. Make Celsius a part of your play and get that energy up. Game day is fueled by Celsius, the official energy drink of the Florida Panthers. So, Solana, Crowder, Josh Appel are at the Amerant Bank Arena right now. I am boots on the ground in New Jersey. I misread the entire series. I was certain they'd be playing the Devils at some point this summer. And, well, I booked it, and now I'm just I'm kind of stuck here. So Jimmy's back in the studio in Miami. Steph, our on-site engineer, is with the fellas at the Amerant Bank Arena. And we'll talk some hockey today. We'll talk some hoo-ha today. We'll have some fun today. And we welcome Crowder back, who wasn't here on Friday. I do want to talk about his dad's memorial service because I was treated to some funny stories from the Ticket Wizard.
Man, Barry came wrong.
I don't want to have him break out in the flop sweat already. I'm sure he's listening, and I'd like to get into the Panthers first. But Barry, he just misread the event. He thought the event was going to be more of a casual, hey, let's have a beer and toast to Big Randy, share some stories. And so, and admittedly, it was at Funky Buddha Brewery. And yeah. I'm not certain Barry, in fact, I am certain because he told me he was unaware that there was a barrel room. He didn't know there was any room besides the big area where the bars are. And Barry showed up for Crowder's dad's memorial service on Saturday.
Not a lie.
Wearing cargo shorts and a bright orange Reese's peanut butter cup t-shirt.
It was awkward.
It's the thought that counts, though.
That was my man. That's what I told him. I was like, this is great. I appreciate you coming. And he was, you know, he was self-conscious about it. Man, I didn't know it was a dress code. Everybody has on, you know, slacks.
Yeah.
It wasn't black tie, but it was slacks and a
– It's not Reese's well, shirt with cargo shorts.
Yeah, he looked like he was going fishing. I was like, we're not fishing today, Barry. Like, that's the fishing outfit.
He was very uncomfortable from the moment he got to the parking lot and saw Zach Thomas walking in with a sport coat on, and he texted me. I was on the airplane, I think, and he texted me, and he's like, I think I'm underdressed. And then it became a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode because he was slowly dying inside. And I said to him, Bear, you got to get out of there before Crowder starts speaking. Because I guarantee you, he is going to point out the white guy in the bright orange Reese's peanut butter cup t-shirt, and you are going to melt into the floor. And Barry had 6 or 7 panic attacks during the time that he was there, still has not recovered from it, and has told me that when his dad passes, Stan, he needs you to come to the funeral or the service in a t-shirt and shorts to even this out in his head, even if you don't want to, because he cannot continue to exist after what happened on Saturday.
Oh, it was Curb Your Enthusiasm, and I was Leon. Because once he did it, like when he walked in, I went and talked to him. I was like, bro, this is perfect. The underdressed white guy at a black event, this is perfect. I was like, man, enjoy yourself. Come. Just have a good time. Yeah. No, man, I just didn't know. I didn't know it was a dress. I was like, it's not really a dress code. Nobody said a dress code, Barry. Just have a good time, man. You're being Barry. I was giving him encouraging words, but he looked, yeah. A couple people asked me, do I know him and did he sneak in?
He was having a panic attack. I'm not lying to you. Now, admittedly, I would have dressed casually as well because it was at Funky Buddha. But as I said to Barry, not that casually. if I say to some friends, let's get together and it's a Saturday night and it's at a restaurant, I go, that's underdressed for that if we're at Applebee's. Like, it's Saturday night. So...
See, Hawk's idea of casual is his finest L.L. Bean quarter zip.
I would have worn
a pair of jeans. Like, he would have, it would have been not up to the dress code, but I would have worn a Reese shirt.
I would have worn jeans and a dark colored quarter zip from L.L. Bean. That's, you know, that's like my morning wear.
You would have been fine.
MOURNIG.
Y'all know Brian Crum, my college roommate. He's not wearing pants. Nope. He had on shorts. He had on a little collar shirt, some little linen shorts. Like, he was going to dress casual, but. Yeah, Barry went fishing clothes, which was weird to me.
Yeah. Well, anyway, you'll be happy to know he's thrown the Reese's Peanut Buttercup T-shirt out because he never wants to see it again.
Hawk, no lie, four people walked up to me, and I'm welcoming the people. Everybody's coming to hug me and give condolences and all that stuff. And then people kept coming up to me. They were like, Crowder, who's the white dude with no one's shirt? Did he just? Because they had signs leading in to the back, and
right,
it said a celebration of life, Randy Crowder. Everybody thought Barry just snuck in, and it was just a random dude trying to get a free drink. And I was like, oh no, that's the ticket wizard. You know, he's my friend. Now I'm arguing for the crazy dude in the corner with cargo shorts on.
So funny. I said to him, I go, I mean, maybe just a dark T-shirt? Like did it have to be bright orange? Like,
the kids, the babies had slacks on. Mary's cargo pant knit with Reese's Pieces cups.
By the way, Ryan Sense, how about you be a better friend and give a polo or a sport coat that you have lying around in the back at Funky Buddha in the offices. I'm sure Ryan or Casey have some kind of shirt back there that's not bright orange and Reese's that Baz could have used there in place of what he was wearing. Bad friend, by the way.
Yeah, I would have loved to see him in a sport coat and the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup T-shirt underneath it, trying to play dress up at the event for adults. Anyway, game three tonight. If you're headed to the Panthers game tonight or Thursday, Panthers have new specialty food items for the Stanley Cup Final right there at the Amerant Bank Arena, including a turkey panini with chips. That's at section 115 and 307. And how about this? A filet mignon steak sandwich with chips. That's at section 110. Game three is tonight, unless I'm just living in the moment. This seems like one of the greatest, most evenly matched playoff series or finals of all time. Correct me if I'm wrong, Crowder, but I'm imagining you're seeing the same thing. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if every single one of these games goes to overtime.
Now you've seen the stats that they're putting out, and they're saying, like, this doesn't happen. This hasn't happened. So 100%, these games are so damn good, and this Brad Marchand, he stole my soul. He stole my soul. Old guy coming. They're wasting
your
time. I am smitten right now by Marchand. But, no, these teams, it's going to come down. Like you're saying, Hawk, if there are seven overtime games, I would not be surprised. They are so well matched.
I was going to ask you about Marchand, Appel, because I was trying to figure out, did the team need some sort of veteran presence like that? Because they've got plenty of veterans, and they've all got Stanley Cup experience because they won it. I'm wondering who benefits more from Marchand being there. Brad Marchand himself, who gets to be part of this, you know, spectacular ride right at the end and maybe get another cup win, or the Panthers, he has been spectacular on the ice. So I'm curious what you think. Like, is he, or are they mutually beneficial?
It's absolutely mutually beneficial. And it honestly, in a way, reminds me of when Jaromir Jagr came here and played with Alexander Barkov and Jonathan Huberdeau. And from that point, those guys could be around Jagr and kind of see how he operates and see how he works off the ice. And I really felt like after Jagr left, Barkov took another step in his game. Huberdeau took another step in his game. And I feel like what Marchand is bringing to Lundell and Lusterainen is an element of that. Someone who is now 37 years old. He's on the back end of his career, but he has, with those two, formed what has been one of the best lines across the entire postseason here in 2025. I don't think anybody could have a single bad thing to say about how this Marchand acquisition and run with the Panthers has been. He has been everything you could have possibly wanted in a deadline acquisition and then some. But to answer your original question, did they need necessarily a veteran presence like Marchand? No. I mean, Crowder, we were on the air doing a show when this trade news broke. It paralyzed me for like 2 seconds. I couldn't get a thought out because I was just so caught off guard by the idea that, number one, the Panthers were trading for that guy from that team after they wrecked them in the postseason and wrecked their entire franchise the 2 years prior. And it just wasn't something that was on anybody's radar. But, you know, I think they didn't need him necessarily, but it certainly made them a lot better. And he has come up with so many incredible moments so far in this postseason. And I find it so ironic that if he scores on the breakaway in Game 5 of that Bruins-Panthers series 2 years ago, who knows if the Panthers are even on this run. And now here he is in the Stanley Cup Final 2 years later, scoring not one but two breakaway goals, one shorthanded one to give him the win in overtime.
And Josh, with that thought, man, it's crazy to say, because when he got in the game, in basketball they call it cherry picking. It's like they're watching and then they just take off running to the offense and you're behind the defense and you can't do it. Like, does he tell people, hey, give me the puck. I'm about to go. Give me the puck.
I just think Marchand's hockey IQ and his feel for the game is so good.
Tkachuk talked about
that.
Yeah.
These guys just are so good moving around without the puck, and the chemistry that he's developed with Anton Lundell, who had a really good game too for the Panthers, found him. And it was honestly off of a bad play by Evan Bouchard, who came down the boards, kind of opened up the middle of the ice there, and Marchand's going to win a foot race against a stationary Bouchard, who's got to now turn around and try and chase him. And all Marchand had to do is finish, and he nearly didn't. I don't know how that one squeaked through Stuart Skinner, but I feel like that's just kind of the hockey gods giving one back after the first opportunity in the first overtime that he got under Skinner's pad that went through the crease and hit the post. This one squeaked through. But that was one of those things when I'm watching that game, I'm like, number one, I don't know anything the Panthers could have possibly done any differently to not be 4-4 in overtime there. And number two, you're only going to get so many chances in this overtime. You had the Marchand breakaway. You had the Reinhardt breakaway. They had one or two other chances. I think Evan Rodriguez backhanded one through the crease at one point, and you're just thinking, all right, like, you're on the road. It's the Cup Final. It's McDavid. It's McDreisaitl. It's Dreisaitl. at some point, like, you're going to run out of chances before they cash in. And thankfully, I mean, that is just – I tweeted this after the game. They are the defending Stanley Cup champions for a reason.
Solana, you've come around on Brad Marchand?
Yeah, you know, he's not that bad. I was thinking about it, though. Imagine Hawk telling a Panthers fan, a Bruins fan, an NHL fan 2 years ago. Forget, like, the Game 5, because 100% he makes that goal. Like,
who knows?
Paul Maurice might have been fired, especially if it was up to Hawk. You know, people forget. But imagine telling somebody two years ago.
Nobody forgets. You're around. Nobody forgets.
2 years ago, hey, one of the greatest postseason moments in Florida Panthers history is going to belong to Brad Marchand in a Panthers sweater. Mm-hmm. You'd be like, what?
Well, isn't there some similarity to Ray Allen there? I mean, same city and one of the greatest, if not the greatest, Heat postseason moment is at the hands of Ray Allen.
It's the greatest postseason moment maybe in NBA history, or the most important postseason moment in NBA history. But here's the only difference, Hawk. Ray Allen wasn't like a Celtics lifer, and he was really the third member of the Big Three, and there was already like some tension there. Correct me if I'm wrong, Appel, because I'm a hockey novice, but Brad Marchand was like the Paul Pierce or the Kevin Garnett of their organization. The dude won a cup already, what, 2011 or 13 or whatever?
Yeah, that was when the Vancouver riots happened. Yeah. That was because of Brad Marchand and the Bruins.
By the way, that I have so many insane stats from Game 2. Brad Marchand, to the date, back in whatever it was, 2013, had an overtime game winner as well the same day. It was like the anniversary of it, the same day he did it for the Florida Panthers. Like, so many insane things happened after that Game 2 win.
Good omens. No, I mean, yeah, it was Patrice Bergeron, it was Brad Marchand, David Pastrnak, and then Ochoa, obviously, before he retired, and Tuukka Rask.
And Phil Esposito, or whatever that guy's name is.
Phil Esposito. I mean, that's a great name pull from you, but, like, he's been out of the league for, like, 40 years. He's doing Tampa Bay Lightning Radio.
Are you talking about in that era? It would be like saying Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, and Cornbread Maxwell.
You remember the big three that the Heat beat? Larry Bird. Havlicek.
Brad game. Chris Bosh. Hell, man. Brad and Chris Bosh.
Well, Solana's got two time periods, though. When he's been watching or when he hasn't been watching. Anyway, we'll get some headlines here. We'll talk some Panthers throughout the day. We'll have some guests stopping on by. Canes, this is the portion of the show where I go over the headlines before Solana does them. Mm-hmm. Canes missed out on a trip to the College World Series. Yuri Perez back for the Marlins tonight. Good news for the Marlins. Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp are off tonight, by the way. Jalen Ramsey will not be showing up for mandatory minicamp, according to reports. But let us get the official headlines here for the 2 o'clock hour with Alejandro Solana, brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. At Doral Volkswagen, choose from over 300 new Volkswagen models in stock, like the Tiguan, Taos, and Atlas. And remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen.
He tries to 8 mile you.
Crazy, right?
He says everything you're supposed to say, and you have nothing to say.
Yeah. Now what? Like,
well, I like to lay it out there. I like to lay it out there, and then see what he does with it.
Your turn.
Your weather from the there's actually a lot of sports that happened over the weekend, but the NBA Finals is tied. After Oklahoma City looked like the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Looked more
yesterday.
Like last night what we expected all the games to look like.
And I expect them to keep moving forward that way. That was impressive. And SGA is the MVP.
On Friday, Crowder, you were off. Hawk and I started the show because Thursday, Indiana has the crazy comeback. They win. They steal game one, I should say. The Halliburton shot is insane. And Friday, Hawk and I are doing the show, and we're both like, Let's give the Pacers a little bit of respect here. We're missing something. Like, we have to stop pretending like this is going to be a walkover. Hawk, I don't know about you, but I'm bailing on that take. I got the Thunder in five again, man.
Oh, my God. I would sell any Pacers ticket that you have right now for pennies on the dollar.
Halliburton can't put weight on his left leg. We got action, OKC.
Everybody's upset with Richard Jefferson because he's been hard on Halliburton throughout the series. Yesterday, it's the fourth quarter. Halliburton kind of starts to get a little hot, but he had, I think, 8 points entering the fourth, something like that. And he scores a couple buckets, and RJ is like, okay, but where was this in the first three quarters? And you know what? Richard Jefferson is right about that. Forget the superstar, not superstar talk. The only way the Pacers are going to win this series or have a chance is if their best player plays like the best player. And I understand the dichotomy of the Pacers, that he's a facilitator or whatever. But at the end of the day, you're not winning if your best player has 10 points in the NBA Finals.
But their offense isn't set up. We watched them through every other series. Their offense isn't set up like that. So I'm with you. But do you want to go the Jalen Brunson route where he dribbles 24 seconds and takes a fadeaway with 3 seconds left? That would you say? That's what you have to ask yourself about it. I'm with you. Stars make teams. Especially in the NBA, five guys on the court. But your offense is set up to dish and dunk and do all the stuff that they do. And Tyrese is not – he'll never win a scoring title in that offense.
But conversely, he's led his team to the NBA Finals, and it's tied 1-1, and they're the road team. Like, it's hard to pick apart what he's doing. It's always fun to me. It's like, you know, in an NFL game, they go – Tua threw for 210 yards, but one of the passes was 85 yards. So if you take that out of it, he really only threw, you know, for 110 yards or whatever. And it's like, well, wait a second. You can't do that. That's not fair. And we do it with Halliburton. It's like, well, he can hit every clutch shot in the history of the world that keeps landing them in further and further into the playoffs. But can he score in the second quarter? Because he doesn't seem to be able to put up enough points. You know what I mean? Like it's a weird thing that we're doing with him.
And as they went through the Knicks, 20 points, 32, 8, 21. Now at OKC, 14, 17. That's his game.
Yeah. No, he averages 18 a game.
He's not a scoring monster. He's not SGA.
I think Crowder's at a best. Who would you rather have right now to build your team around? Tyrese Halliburton or Jalen Brunson?
Halliburton.
That's too.
I mean, Halliburton's in the finals.
And he beat Jalen. His style of play in that offense is better than Jalen dribbling the ball for 20 damn seconds and then shooting some crazy little fadeaway.
Davion Mitchell.
No, Spider Mitchell, you mean.
No, Davion.
He means Davion Mitchell.
not the Cavs guy?
No.
The Heat guy.
The Heat guy.
Yeah. Boy, we're together today. I can touch you.
Yeah, the Canes, they fell short. It was a wild game three. They steal game two. That one got a little dicey in the top of the ninth also. And then yesterday they just fall short one game away from getting to Omaha. They have been eliminated. Louisville advances.
Did 31 pitch?
He did.
Smith.
I like him.
Yeah.
He was throwing straight filth.
Yeah. Okay. One other Canes note here. Aaron Feld, who was the strength and conditioning coach for the University of Miami football team. Everybody knows him. Mustache.
Yeah.
Also just diesel. He's stepping down. He announced on Instagram wants to spend more time with his family.
I need more information.
Yeah, well, he seems to me, just from what I gather, like a guy who does everything 350%. Mm-hmm. You know, some people, they get all the way up to 110%. If Feld gets up to 350%. And I imagine if he has a job, if you're giving 350% to your job, the family's not getting as much because there's not many percent left over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if you were giving 350% to your job, but also 110% to your family, but that's still like three times more to your job, like what's the – he's still giving 100% to his family there.
But the ratio.
And there's not enough time in a day.
Maybe not for you. For him, maybe.
That's why I can't coach, Appel. I've had coaching opportunities. It just takes so much time to be there, 18 hours a day, year round.
Yeah, I work with a former college coach during the football season, and he would have an air mattress and would sleep at the facility during the week. Like, never go home.
It's crazy. I'm going to leave at midnight to be back at 4. I have a 30-minute drive, so I'm going to get home to just go to sleep for 3 hours to get back up. I might as well stay here and get my 4 hours in.
He should try my approach, Aaron Feld, that is. Just give 10% to everything.
Diversify your portfolio.
Just everything. My relationship, 10%. My family, 10%. This show, Hawk, correct me if I'm wrong, 10%.
Yeah. No, that's generous.
That's on the high end.
The French Open finals, plural, were fabulous. Coco Gauff, her second, and don't get at me, South Florida kid, Crowder. I was going to wear my Coco Gauff t-shirt today, but she wins her second slam. She beats world number one, Aryna Sabalenka, and then Carlos Alcaraz. It legit might be the greatest final I've watched, at least since Nadal, Federer, Wimbledon. I think that was 2009, maybe 2010. Just like insane stuff. He's down 2-0 to the world number one, Jannik Sinner, comes back, beats him in a breaker in the fifth set. Just insane stuff. Dude's 22 years old, has 5 Grand Slams already.
Yeah, I want a hypothetical live bet on that match. I thought about doing it, didn't end up doing it, and he won. So that's a hypothetical win for me.
It's not a win. Hmm.
Yeah, it is.
You didn't win any money.
I thought about doing it, though.
It's actually a loss. If you thought about a bet that turned out to be a winning bet and you didn't pull the trigger on it, you lost.
And it was plus 2,000. It's the thought that counts. We were talking about that earlier.
It's a huge loss.
Hey, Josh, do you know that Solana's the biggest black tennis fan in the world?
I do know this.
He loves a black tennis player. Oh, my God.
That's why he was so upset at Barry at the memorial on Saturday because
he thought Tiafoe was going to come and embarrass him. white people.
you know those like giant tennis balls you can buy at the Miami Open? I brought mine just in case. I hid it behind the bar, but just in case if Tiafoe was going to be, could have signed it.
Ah, big folk. He wasn't there.
Yeah.
And then Sabalenka did the crap. I saw it this morning. I was like, yeah, shit, man. She's a nasty little joker now.
Yeah. You know, I'm not as upset as everybody else. I was going to bring it up later in headlines because, Hawk, I know we're against it. But people were very outraged at her comments after the match, like after she accepted her award.
I don't even know what tournament this is, so you're going to have to catch me up to speed.
Long story short, because he has word salad. After the match, she said, golf didn't play well. I just played terrible. She won because I played bad.
It's not exactly
what she
said.
She can't say that, though.
Well, she wasn't wrong, though. And it's not.
But you can't say that.
She played bad because Coco was making shots she couldn't get.
No. Here's what she said. I let myself down. I played horrible, and that's why Coco won. And you know what? The world number one had 70 unforced errors. That's insane. That's like, I have less unforced errors against Joe Rose and Ira Winderman. I'm not kidding, though. Like, 70 unforced errors for the world number one? That's absurd. She beat herself. And Coco played smart because she realized that Sabalenka was having maybe the worst game of her life, especially in that third set. She played safe. She pushed the ball. She didn't try to take any sort of rips down the line unnecessarily. She just played safe tennis. Sabalenka's not wrong. What she did say, though, which was just wild, somebody should drug test her for this, was that Iga Świątek, who she beat, has already won that tournament. She's like, if Iga would have gotten by me in the semi, she would have won this final. Which is just like, what does that have to do with anything? Like, oh, somebody who didn't play would have won the final? That, to me, was lame. She was just speaking facts, honestly, about why
either
Coco
you're ride or die with Coco. Doesn't sound like you're ride or die with Coco Gauff.
Arthur Ashe just turned over in his grave. Listen.
Listen, man, at least I know which Serena Williams or Venus Williams sister I'd be talking to.
I know it now.
Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm. Call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24/7. Partly cloudy in South Florida. But tonight, cats on the ice here at Sunrise. That is your weather.
Yep. Don't forget, you'll be able to hear the game here tonight on this radio station. Every Stanley Cup final game right here on 560 WQAM. Plagans will get you started at 7:30. Puck drops, theoretically, 8, more like 8:15, 8:20. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more here from the Amerant Bank Arena. You don't want to go anywhere.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
We got Venus. Venus Williams here. Venus, what's up?
Hawk and Crowder.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back at the Amerant Bank Arena, Game 3 is tonight on this radio station. Solana, you know, it's the Hawkman, Crowder, and Solana show. Solana will be at the Carolina Ale House in Weston on Wednesday the 18th, which is a week from this Wednesday, 5 p.m., you're bailing on the show early to go make money on an appearance? God bless you. You really have embraced being a name on the show because that's the way to do it, Jack. That is the way to go. Wednesday, the 18th, Solana will be at Carolina Ale House for a FIFA Club World Cup watch party. He's going to give away tickets every 30 minutes to see Inter Miami play in the Club World Cup. at Hard Rock Stadium on June 23rd. Mm-hmm. You know which Carolina Ale House you're at?
You said it was the one in Weston.
The one in Weston.
Oh, oh, I didn't
see
that.
That's a nice one. They got video games and all.
Great chicken tenders there.
Yeah. And there isn't the is the Carolina Ale House, is that the one that has the Mountain Melt?
No, that's the Miller's Ale House.
Oh, okay. Well, don't go to that
Zingers,
place. Yeah, Zingers. Go to Carolina Ale House.
Carolina on the 18th.
Okay.
Yeah, don't go to the other one. Place stinks.
Hey, you talk about names. I got to tell you, I text y'all because I got pulled over coming here today. And remember I told the story when I got pulled over going 140 in Ronnie Brown's Porsche back in like 06. I just remember yelling out any Hall of Famer Dolphin name that I knew. When the cop pulled me over, I'm getting off 595, getting on the Sawgrass to get to the Amerant Bank, and I see a big pack of cars coming, and I'm already running, you know, right on time. I'm like, no, I'm going to get in front of these cars. So I hit it. He said I was going.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
92, because I was trying to get in front of the pack. That's speeding. I didn't argue with him.
You should have said I was doing 92 for Thomas Nosek.
You know what? Because he bounced back after flipping that thing over.
Exactly.
But it was a blur. I know now I default to name dropping when I'm not in a superior place in my life. And I remember, I know I brought up Bobrovsky and Barkov. I said Joe Rose, Leroy Tobin, Hawk Crowder, perfect, and Solana. I just kept saying just names, the reason why you should let me go right here. No ticket.
What do you think? Which name do you think was the one that worked?
Probably Leroy.
I get pulled over. They start walking over. I just kind of yell out the window. I go, oh, so you want to tussle with the ticket wizard? Come on over. They turn right around.
I can't. It's fun. I don't know. My default to being in a inferior position is start telling them I know people. It's the weirdest thing in the world. I came to that conclusion about an hour ago.
I do that in every situation. Anyway, so Lana's going to be a Carolina Ale House in Weston. And now, is there a game going on? Because it's a watch party. So is there a game going on that afternoon?
Yes. There are several games that afternoon. I actually have the games up right here, but there's games at noon, 3 p.m., 6 p.m., and 9 p.m. on that Wednesday. So there's going to be
starts the 14th, right? So that's
correct.
On a Saturday, this coming Saturday.
Yes, this coming Saturday, and it's Inter Miami, Al Ahly that actually open up the tournament, as we've discussed, at Hard Rock Stadium.
And then Wednesday the 18th, Solana, starting at 5 p.m., he's going to have tickets for the Club World Cup every 30 minutes for an Inter-Miami game at Hard Rock Stadium on June 23rd. So you come out to Carolina Ale House in Weston, watch the game with Solana, and win some tickets, hopefully. Enjoy some ice-cold beer specials. And if you want more info, you can go to WQAM.com. Would this team, Appel, Panthers team, would this team, as talented as they are, be this successful if they weren't playing Paul Maurice's style of hockey? Is this one of those teams where you go, they're so good, they're so deep, and I'm not poking at Paul Ball because I know you've been the biggest proponent of it since he got here, and obviously it's worked out like gangbusters. I'm just curious how good this team is. Does it even matter?
I think they're good because the players that Bill Zito has brought in fits the style that they want to play, right? Like we saw what maybe they didn't think that Mackenzie Weegar and Jonathan Huberdeau, for other reasons, contracts had a lot to do with that too. Like you're not going to pay a guy like Mackenzie Weegar 8 years when he's going to be on the north end of 30 in a season or two. Same with Huberdeau. And if you're trying to change up the way you play to a more physical style that, as we know, is more successful in the postseason, not really sure a guy like Jonathan Huberdeau or some of the guys on that President's Trophy team are fits for what they do now. Now you just got sandpaper everywhere. And then you got a guy like Carter Verhaeghe who has he's always kind of fit into both styles. He's got a lot of speed, a great shot, but part of what makes him great, I remember Goldie saying it a lot when he first signed with the Panthers, great at winning those puck battles along the boards. And then I remember, of course, hearing Paul Maurice first couple of training camps and even into this year, how much time they spend on puck battles in the corner against the boards. And then you see last year, they close out the Rangers series, they close out the Oilers series with Nico Mikkola and other guys keeping the puck against the board and winning a puck battle to drain the clock. There are so many guys on this team that fit perfectly to what Paul Maurice does. And I'm not sure, to your question, if they're playing maybe the style they played under Andrew Brunette and Joel Quenneville. I don't know if we're sitting here having this conversation at Amerant Bank Arena for the third consecutive year playing in the Stanley Cup.
Who benefits most on the roster from Paul Ball? Like a player that you saw pre-Paul Maurice and then post-Paul Maurice, who's benefited most?
Sergei Bobrovsky. Yeah. I think they are so much better structurally in front of him. Yeah, they give up chances like any team does, but it is night and day compared to what it was like when they were playing free-flowing, wide-open, up and down the ice in the prior years in the first part of his stint with the Panthers. Like, one of the biggest changes and why Bob himself obviously has played better, but the Panthers have played so much better in front of him.
And Josh, well, one thing, and we actually talked about it, you know, you're on the show all the time, where I thought we were a better 2-1, 3-2 team.
Yeah.
And now we're winning 5-4. Is that sustainable with the Panthers?
So I said to you at the beginning of the series, over the course of seven games, if they're playing these 5-4, 6-5, up and down the ice type games, probably benefits the Oilers a bit more. But what's so great about this Panther team is that they don't have to change their style in order to get to that fourth, to that fifth goal to keep up with a team like the Oilers that obviously is so incredibly talented, especially at the top with McDavid and Draisaitl. So I just think that they're able to adapt their game while still sticking to the principles that got them here in the first place.
You know, you've watched games one and two play out. Is there anything to extrapolate other than these are two evenly matched teams?
These are the two best teams in the NHL, and they have played two classic games that were both, in the end, coin flips for who was going to win them. And I almost wish that I didn't have an emotional interest in this series.
Where you could just enjoy
this. Oh, my God. How awesome would a game two have been to experience without having the stress of, oh, crap, I don't want to go down 2-0 coming back home against Connor McDavid. Like, after the game ended, like, the sense of relief, I felt like I had played. Obviously not, but I felt like I had played. My body was sore from how tense I was experiencing that game. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. It just
you cannot say about every championship game that it's the two best teams in the league always, right?
No.
I don't know if do we think Indiana and OKC. We probably think OKC in the West. I don't know if anybody thinks Indiana's the best team in the East. I know they're there, but these two teams, the Panthers and the Oilers. They are the two best teams in the league, right? I don't think there's any debate.
No debate. And I would say to your Indiana question, I had said in passing that they were a great team last time we were at Amerant Bank Arena, and it would have been, like I said, the most offensive thing in the world the way you guys responded to me. So, which, fair enough. But I don't think that is the two best teams. You're getting the two best teams here. And this is not like when the Panthers made it in the first year under Paul Maurice where they just got really hot and started playing really well, and everything started to click. You'll ask anybody. These are the two best teams, right? Like, we thought Carolina and Dallas potentially had a chance to take down one of these two, And Dallas kind of showed flashes early, but, I mean, it's very obvious and clear that these are the two best teams.
And I think we felt that way last year. I think both these teams got better.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is crazy.
Absolutely.
Like, to me, the Oilers look like they're better. And I know they're deeper based on everything you've said. And you add Brad Marchand to this team. Like, the Panthers just look better. They just do. So that's
Zach
that
Hyman was out there, though.
True, but Evander Kane was not. And Evander Kane's out there this year, and he scored a big goal for them.
I'm just saying, what if Hyman was out there for this series?
Yeah, I mean, he is a guy that makes a difference. He is great on the power play. He's great in front of the net. He scores a lot of grimy, dirty goals out in front. Ironically enough, would be a great fit for the Panthers. Was drafted by the Panthers, people forget, and then ended up signing. But, yeah, I mean, Hyman's a big absence for them. It's crazy to say that, like, I don't think he is the difference in them winning or losing this series because clearly they are a juggernaut even without him. He would have just made them that much better had he been healthy.
Hey, McDavid, McDonald's, mac and cheese. Mm. It's not Panthers in five.
Ooh.
But
reverse sweep.
What makes
I love when he does the Shannon Sharp. McDavid, but, McDonald's, mac and cheese, please.
Panthers in five. But what like, is it just their his speed? Because he like, I hate him because he looks like he's playing at a different speed, his damn stick, the thing they do when they fake the kick and kick the little puck up and flip it over, it's just crazy.
I cannot remember the last time that both on one single play, Alexander Barkov, multi-time Selke winner, this year's Selke winner, best defensive forward in hockey, and Aaron Ekblad, top pair defenseman for a team that has been at the Stanley Cup final three consecutive years and won one, were on the same play, those two were made to look like they were minor league players. Aaron Ekblad was flailing onto the ice. Barkov caught flat-footed. And I don't know what you'd do differently. It's just Connor McDavid's going to make those plays every now and again, and you just got to be like, all right, it happens. That's what he does.
But is it stick work, his speed? It's just everything.
Everything. You combine it all.
He does hockey better than other people do hockey.
If you create a player on NHL 25, you play some Chell, and you turn on the sliders, you're able to edit the guy as much as you want. You put everything to 99. That's Connor McDavid.
What's Chell?
NHL 25, the video game.
You don't know Chell?
No, you call it Chell. That's the short.
Yeah, everybody calls it Chell.
A little Chell.
Huh.
You pick up the sticks, a little Chell.
NHL, that'd be nice.
No. NHL, so you play a little Chell.
All right. Huh. I never heard that before.
Nahal.
That'll really roll off the tongue like Chell does.
No. All right, 3 o'clock hour is coming up. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Crowder, speak the gospel on hockey. Tell him.
Made a puckin' boy.
Hawk and Crowder.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.